Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episodes 5 and 6. It's a double. My name is Marty. I'm here with Jen.
Hey, guys.
Let's get started with Emily and Kobe. So, two episodes, same problem.
Yep.
Emily doesn't want Kobe's friends to think that she's, like, bossy or that the relationship's not going to work out because she's bossy.
Yeah.
She tries to converse with him twice, both times.
Yep. The friends are like, fuck you, you're bossy.
You're bossy.
And, you know, the first time when they were doing the fucking handball bullshit, like, yeah. Okay. You know, I mean, there's a degree. Well, first of all, when eyebrow guy, you know, talks afterwards about how he says she was so pompous for checking on her husband.
What?
And I was mad at that, yeah. Because in at least our culture, if my person, if my family member, if some whoever gets injured and I just sit there like, eh, oh well.
Yeah,
eh.
I think both.
I'm an asshole.
I think the friends and Emily are both being kind of shitheads.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why wouldn't you, if you care about a person, why wouldn't you say, hey, are you okay? You know, or, you know, can I get you something, you know?
Yeah. Like, if we were here and Kobe was my husband and I saw he obviously visibly, you know, is hurt and hobbling off the field, I would go over and I'd be like, hey, you okay? Anything right. I can do? And if he's like, I don't know, I'm fine. You know, I would maybe hover a little, like a couple seconds. Like, I want to be like, you sure? But like, okay, man, you said
right,
you're fine.
Well, let me know.
And I'm going to go sit down. And so Emily could have done that. She didn't have to like kind of harp a little longer there. But
right.
For this fucking eyebrow man to call her pompous for
checking on him. I mean, come on.
That's too far. That's ridiculous.
Do you think that's really a cultural thing, or did they like kind of already decide they don't like Emily? And then now they're just anything she does is just kind of like, ugh.
I think it's a little of both. I think it boils down to he did not marry an African woman, so
right.
She will not be good enough, which is what she says
which
later
ultimately is,
in the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's not an African woman, she'll never be good enough.
Right.
I think if she did every single thing they wanted, wasn't bossy,
right.
Whatever the club cooked them food and whatever bullshit,
instead of going to the
still,
club.
There
yeah.
would still be things, because she's not an African woman.
But,
and I'll tell you, I would not do well in Africa if
no.
this is the culture towards
right.
women, because even in the club scene, like I was on Emily's side when it came to the club scene because they really were, you know, if it's cultural for a woman, an African woman, to invite the friends or whoever the fuck into your house and cook them a meal, whatever, if that's the culture, then
yeah.
that's on Kobe for not telling Emily.
And her house is in Salina. It's not here
yeah.
in Cameroon.
Yep. And she said, if you were there, that's what I would do. But they're like, well, but no. You're staying at an apartment here.
Oh, your hotel has a kitchen. It's like,
yep.
Where am I going to get food?
Yeah. And
what
it's
are
like,
you talking about?
Dude, I'm here on vacation. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come get real.
What are you talking about?
And so I was just kind of furious at it because it was very much. And two, okay, if the wrong thing to do, like that other fucking guy was like, oh, we're grading you on, you know, being an African woman and this is a bad grade. Like, okay, then why did you agree to come to the nightclub when she invited you?
If that was such a slight.
If that was so wrong and
right.
bad and incorrect of an African woman and a good wife.
Right.
Why'd you agree to come to the nightclub to then only tell her how she did the wrong thing by inviting them to a nightclub?
It's an opportunity to tell her she did the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was clear as day, no matter what she does, Emily, yes, is bossy.
Yeah.
But it's like, at the end of the day, no matter what, nothing would have been good enough of Emily. She's correct in that. So
right.
I was on her side. And so I just complete. And then the stupid eyebrow guy, when she gets up and leaves, he's like, oh, what is she mad about, Kobe? What? Like, are you kidding me?
Really? Were you
like,
not here?
What?
Yeah.
And just, yeah, I would not. If that's the culture of Africa, I wouldn't
then
do well.
You can have
I
it.
Would be seen as bossy because I'm in a. And to
like
Emily's
not,
credit, too.
And basically, she was just kind of defending herself.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like she was really being bossy as much as she's just like, hey, I'm not going to let you shit on me.
Yeah, like she's being assertive is also what women get confused with being called bossy is assertive. Sure. Which there is a difference, and I think we've seen both from Emily, assertive and bossy.
Have.
But and then I was also really upset at Kobe because he's letting his friends come at her like that. And I know the culture probably isn't to defend your woman like that,
right.
You know, because your woman shouldn't be talking back like that in the first place. But it's like you boil it down to Kobe. Yes, these are his best friends, whatever. But it's like, dude, you moved to America. Mm-hmm. You have what, two kids? I think they have three now.
Three
on the way. Like you moved to America for your American wife.
Right.
You live in America to, you know, like you, how often do you see these friends?
And who are you going home with?
Yeah. Who are you going home with? Who are you having this life with? You're having it with Emily. And so it's like, and you're in America where being bossy or being a woman in like Emily is okay.
Right.
And it's like, so, and for you to not defend her at all when your friends come at her like that,
wasn't
I thought was absurd.
It wasn't a good look.
Yeah, I've loved Kobe until that, where I'm like, you're not going to say a word?
That's one of the bad things about Kobe. Yeah.
I
generally like him, but that's one thing where he could really improve.
And he's clearly really struggling with, like, trying to not look bad. He's trying to not get grief from his friends for not being the proper Cameroonian man, but like, and so he's trying to not get them to think less of him, but it's like, again, who are you going home with? Yeah. You're going to go home with Emily.
And now they're both thinking less of you, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
and so I was disappointed that I was like even maybe not even defend Emily. But, like, get your friends to shut up. Like, hey, let's cool it, man.
Can we
guys,
just talk
let's
about
have
something else?
Yeah, let's you have know. A good time, you know, yeah. whatever. Blah, blah, like, but he just nothing. Not yeah. a peep.
But also, I thought it was funny that I'm sure you noticed that the first time on the handball court or whatever, when she was talking to the friends and they're talking about how they don't, you know, she's not a proper, you know, wife or whatever, kind of yeah. giving her the business, and she's going back at him. Then they mentioned Kobe had like a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
All talk about her being a wife and her ability as a wife, that went down the fucking toilet.
Yep.
And now she just wants to talk about this girlfriend.
Like, yeah.
Okay, fuck the wife business. What about this girlfriend?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was just kind of funny that it's like, you were so concerned about them how they thought of you as a wife. And that just speaks to her insecurity because she was so concerned about how they thought of her as a wife and their relationship and everything. But that just, it went away.
Yeah.
Because, wait, he had a girlfriend when he left? What? I didn't know about that. It's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, one. Yeah, like, then on one hand, it's like, you, I've been in that position before many, many years ago, where like, it's like, well, if I knew you were cheating on somebody with either me or the other girl, I would have never been involved with you. And it's like, there is this little bit of like, from Emily's perspective of like, well, shit, like, what yeah. were you playing games with me when you well, started? Like, you know, but
it's a
but
bit
now
of a happy lie, isn't it?
But yeah, but it's like, but now you have a couple kids with the guy, you're
yeah.
married,
I mean,
it, you know,
you're happily married, you got the kids and everything. And it's like, if he did lie, which I'm not convinced that he did, maybe he did, but I'm not convinced. If he did lie, it's like, well, it certainly worked out.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Because you guys ended up getting married, you got the kids, you have a happy life and everything. So it's like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But I don't buy the friend. Maybe the friend is remembering it wrong. Maybe he's lying.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to start shit.
He might just be trying to start shit. Or I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he doesn't remember it properly. Maybe he didn't know they broke up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's possible.
So, I don't know. At any rate, Kobe says, no, that's not how it happened. I was single in China. She should just kind of like, I mean, she doesn't really have anything to say otherwise. She should just kind of believe him, honestly.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think it was it's been a hard couple days for Emily of just not being good enough by the friends, trying to do a nice thing and they shit on her. And then, oh, hey, he had a girlfriend when he was with you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think she was just getting a lot of shit from them.
Right.
That she was kind of just like being overloaded with just unpleasantries.
The good thing about her coming to this conclusion that she'll never be good enough for them, she now doesn't need to impress them anymore.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to work so hard to impress them.
I would have given up a long time ago.
Like, do your thing.
I would have given up after the whole handball thing. Like, I'm pompous for checking out my... Okay. All right. Because I would just peep it. Like, okay, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to please you guys.
All right.
So, fuck it.
I'm going to do me then.
Yeah.
All right. So, how about Gino and Jasmine? We didn't have Gino and Jasmine in this latest episode.
No.
Which I think a little bit of a break was nice. I like those guys, but a little bit of a break was nice. But, so, the big thing, Gino finally comes to the conclusion that, okay, I'll get help from the lawyer. I'll do everything myself, but I'll have a lawyer look over the paperwork and shit to get Jasmine's kids over. So he kind of relented a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, maybe it's a little too late.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that now, at the most, they might have to wait another 2 years for the kids. It's
that's
a long time. That's not like you messed up some paperwork and oops, now we have to do it again and we just got to wait like another couple months or 6 months. It's like 2 years for your children to come here. That's a big thing.
Right.
And that's also a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. And like, you know, it may have been the previous week, but Gino's cousin was talking about, you know, her kid's like 11.
Yeah.
By the time this happens, he'll be a teenager. He won't really want to be, you know, so snuggly with mom and want mom to help him with everything. You know what I mean? So it's like he'll be a completely different kid at that time. So.
Yeah. And I also love that Jasmine and Gino always like to talk about big things when, like, they're having a nice time. Like they go out to dinner and it's like they're having a nice dinner and whatever. And it's like then that's when they want to talk about, like, oh, we're having such a nice dinner. Let's talk about triggering bad things. Yeah. Things that'll start a fight. Let's go.
And that's, you know, obviously that's when they're talking about the whole baby talk. I don't think them having a baby is a good idea.
I don't. I think that Gino needs to fucking shove it on that idea until he gets her current children here.
Should get her current children here. He needs to get it. Bro needs to get a job.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it. Bro needs to get a job.
Yep. I agree.
So.
It would bother me. It would trigger me every time. Until my kids got here, if I were Jasmine, every time this guy brought up having children with me,
let's make a baby.
It would trigger me because it would take a lot for me to get over the hurt of him fucking up, and now I'm still waiting for my kids to come. And so it's like, so it would be a wound that, like, hey, you need to stay away from the whole kid topic until mine are here.
Right.
Like, that would just, and I would have to tell him that.
You're
like,
just
like,
reinfecting that wound every time.
Because you keep telling me, every time you keep asking me to make a baby with you, I'm reminded about how my current children are not here yet because of your fuck up.
I have baby shithead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's like, hey, you fucked up. You tried to go the cheap route. You tried to corner cut and look what happened. So, hey, you can talk to me about kids of your own when mine are here. Period.
Yeah. That's I mean, that, and you know what? Maybe that sounds shitty on the surface level, but he enticed her to the United States with promises of also bringing her kids.
Absolutely.
So, you know, world's smallest violin, dude.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. So. Yep.
How about Pat and Thais? The big thing, they're going to Brazil, and they do go to Brazil in this latest episode.
Yep.
John's going to meet him down there.
Yep, he's coming a day later.
I love it. And John's one of the few cast members in the 90 Day Universe where it's like I could watch him every season.
Yeah.
They need to do a spinoff with John and Thais and have them like solving puzzles in exotic locations or something. Because he gets under her skin so bad.
And you know what? Putting myself in Thais's shoes, I think that if I were Thais, I think that John would bug the shit out of me.
I hate him.
Yeah, I would hate him. I would hate him being around. I'd hate him being this little Peter Pan that won't like grow up and go away.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, I'm trying to have my husband and now my baby, and here's fucking John again all over the place.
Here's Peter Pan.
And here's Peter Pan trying to latch on again. And it's just like, dude, get off our nipples, man. And
I only love
somewhere.
John because I don't have to deal with him.
Yeah. He's funny to watch with other people's lives, but like, man, if I were Thais, I'd be like, this motherfucker, man, like, he needs to go. And I was proud of her, or like, I would have done the same thing. Where she decides, like, okay, fine, John can go.
I suspect that this whole idea was a production plant.
Yeah.
The productions, you know, they're talking about going to Brazil and they're like, hey, why don't you bring John? Hey, John, don't you want to go to Brazil too? It just feels that way. I don't know, but it, I wouldn't be surprised. And it's a right call. It was the right thing to do.
And you know what bothers me, too, for Thais with John is with this latest episode also, like, it seems like Patrick has a really hard time telling the people in his life no and setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think that that adds to the negative emotions of Thais, because it's like he, in a way, by not having boundaries with the other family members, he's not respecting Thais's needs.
Yeah.
And he's telling her that, like, what you want or need doesn't matter. And like, and that's how I would feel if I were her.
It's at the detriment of their relationship.
Yeah. And so it's like, if Thais doesn't want, like, Thais wants to go home to Brazil and visit her family. And,
right.
You know, and it's like, if she doesn't want her husband's, like, weird brother to tag along, I think she has the right to say that. And
yeah.
Then, but then Pat not saying no to the brother, and so she caves just fine. And later on, we see, like, she gets upset that, like, you know, she told her own father their first day there, no, we're not going to come see you with the baby because the baby's tired and whatever, we're going to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And then here comes fucking John's dad.
Right.
When she was under the understanding that her and Patrick...
It sounds like they talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she sees the dad, and she's like, what the fuck? And so I think that Pat having a hard time setting boundaries with family gets on Thais's nerves too.
I can say, yeah,
it
I
would
can
get
see
on
that.
My nerves too. Like,
I can see
like
that.
We agreed, nobody's coming over. The hell is
right,
this?
Like, we need a moment to kind of decompress here. And also, so they have an apartment in Brazil that's owned by Pat's dad.
Yeah,
right. And they pay him rent for it. And it seems like Thais does not like the idea about that. Doesn't like, you know, like they're kind of helping his dad out financially. And I think she kind of looked bothered by that. She didn't say anything, though. So
I agree.
I don't know. But.
And I suspect, and kind of based on the previews for next week of like the things the dad wants them to do and this and that, like I feel like that's again tied into Pat's inability to say no or like, you know, it's like, you know, maybe their money is a little tighter than they thought, or maybe there's something she'd like to do with the money but can't because it's going to support. Like, I feel like it's again somehow tied in with Pat not saying no to his dad.
And I really want to see Thais's dad and Pat's face-to-face interaction, because Thais's dad is a tough guy when it's over video call on the phone, calling John a little bastard.
Yeah, I couldn't believe
Pat
that.
A little bastard.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude... Listen, Pat's, like, he seems like a sweet guy, but the guy's huge.
He's huge.
And he's like, I suspect he's not going to be calling him a little bastard to his face.
Yeah, like, has he ever, I don't think he's ever met Pat.
I don't know.
Face to face.
I'm not really sure, so.
But, yeah.
And one last point. Do you think, you know how a Tesla can kind of drive itself? Do you think you can just send it home to park instead of parking at the airport?
I feel like there's probably, laws haven't caught up, you know, so it's probably, you probably can't. Let a car drive itself. So a person probably has to be in there.
I kind of like the idea of sending like a horse, like a go on now get on home, wait for me. You know,
that'd like be it. Cool. Maybe in a few years,
a Batmobile, and you hit. I mean, you get returned from Brazil, you hit the remote, and it comes and gets you.
You go ahead and tweet Elon and tell him to get on.
This is why Elon's fucking up. I don't believe a thing he says until that's a possibility. So
there you go.
About Nicole Mahmood. So
oh boy.
Wow, that's a lot happens in two episodes of these two.
Yeah.
So, you know, Nicole goes out to her friends. I think they're both kind of trash, Nicole and Mahmood. But we see a whole new side of Nicole.
Yeah.
You know, they blew up because a little sliver of her back was showing. It was pretty over the top and ridiculous. She just decides with her friends there, and I hate her friends. Her friends decide. Well, he doesn't want to come and meet us. Let's go to your place and meet him.
Yeah.
He clearly wants to be left alone.
Yeah. That was a really, I feel like, kind of an immature move, too. Because it's like, if Nicole is telling you, hey, we got in a fight. He wants a divorce. Things aren't good right now. Like, so that's why he's not here. The next response is not, oh, well, let's go and force him to meet us.
Well, let's go make him. And Nicole's dumb male friend. Like, he's just like.
I liked him. He was a little bit.
I can't stand him.
He was a little in the clouds, but he was trying to do, in this particular situation, he was trying to do the right things.
So they go to the home. Mahmood is like, he probably just woke up.
Yeah.
And there's all these strangers in his house, like, throwing questions at him and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like. Here's the thing I would say to dumb male friend. You just met Mahmood. Mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
Why are you bothering him?
But once the situation unfolded like it did with Nicole calling him like some kind of like what little fucker or something like that, whatever it was, she called him something fucker, like, you know, stupid. And so once Nicole kind of opened that up and made it everybody's problem, and then like Mahmood, then Nicole starts yelling at him to leave and kicking him out. And it's like, given the situation of, okay, Mahmood is about to leave this apartment in this big town he's been in for 2 days and go walking around, the friend tried to talk him down, tried to calm him down, tried to keep him inside.
Here's the right thing to do in that situation. Mind your own fucking business. Let him walk around. Who cares? It's not my, I don't know you. I'm living. And by the way, Mahmood's telling this guy, like, leave me alone. I need some distance.
Need some space.
Yeah,
when he wants the
and
space,
the guy's
he should
putting his
it.
Hands on him and shit. Like, no, you have to stay in here. Like, yeah. Don't get your fucking hands off me. Like, who the fuck are you?
I think we might have to agree to disagree. I mean, I get it. Like, he should have left him alone or not touched him. But it's also like he was trying to keep him from going outside and, like, so many dangers, getting lost, getting anything. You know, it was very kind of like irrational of Mahmood to just be like, I'm gonna just leave. Like okay, at least stay.
I mean,
it's a
LA
hotel.
It's not like there's wild wolves.
Have you ever been to LA?
You can get mugged, but
You've never been to LA.
But guess what? That's a learning experience for Mahmood.
Yeah, but I
needs to find out the hard way.
I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Like, if I wandered off, you know, upset and like, you know, like, you know, you, I, what, oh, I got raped. Like, oh, well, that's my fault. You learned a lesson.
Yeah, but
there.
Here's the
you
thing.
Know, it's,
I know you, and I would try to stop you because I know you. If you were a stranger and you're like, listen, I need my space, I'm going to go do what I want to do, I'm like, okay, go do what you want to do, bro.
Yeah.
Fine. Hands off. Have fun.
I guess I just disagree. I think that it was right of the friend to try to stop, but I think overall everything was wrong of Nicole to bring them back to her apartment and to involve them in her shit. She should have,
like,
never done that stuff.
When they're still fighting, that's when all of them should have said, you know, maybe we should get going.
Yeah, they should have left. When Nicole was all like, oh, you little fucker or whatever, like, they should have been like, all right.
Well, yeah, I'm going to head out, you know.
Yeah, you know. That's what I would have done. That would have been my cue to leave.
Right.
I also was dying, though, when the male friend was, like, talking to the camera about, like, you know, oh, well, I think that they love each other, whatever,
gonna,
and, like...
They're gonna work it out.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
And then there's just Nicole in the background calling him names
fuck
and
you,
screaming, yeah, fuck you, get out of my house, leave now, and, like, and then she's slamming the bathroom door, and he just pauses, and he's just staring.
He's just staring at the camera.
Because he obviously can't talk anymore because they're in the room with them, and so he's just kind of... Got, like, the whole Jim Halpert stare at the camera look.
Why is he so concerned about them not getting a divorce? Like, I don't...
Yeah,
clearly,
I mean,
they're not happy.
Yeah, it's one of those... I don't know. How good of a friend are you of them or of her to not be on the team of, hey, y'all gotta just kind of call it, man.
And it's like, you know, as much as you love your friends, as much as you, as close as you can be... Sometimes there's a certain point in which you don't involve yourself that much in their relationships.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Yeah, and you can kind of just kind of be their friend, you know, hover kind of on the outside of their crap and, you know, be there when it does get flushed down the toilet. But, like, yeah, there's only so much you can really do or say.
Yeah, and
people...
this guy's like, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and fix this. Like,
yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
Just chill the fuck out.
And it's like, I guess... good of him to care, but also, like, I don't know. It was wrong. It was so wrong of Nicole to bring them back there, and, you know, and it was wrong. And so everything from there, you know, could have been avoided if she didn't do that. And then, and also, I think that he is right about, like, you guys got to meet in the middle, which is what Mahmood and Nicole have talked about themselves, of course. But it's just like, I don't think that either have agreed on what is the middle. And it's like,
no.
I think that in this case, her dress, I think that she met him in the middle on his clothing requirements. I think that him to just be like, no, that's unacceptable.
That was pretty silly.
That's not meeting in the middle. Yeah. But it's also just like, I almost feel like she's being, like, spiteful in a way of, like, I'm getting him back for Egypt. Like, because she didn't like him shoving his culture down her throat in Egypt when she got there. And here she is. It's like, he's been here 2 days.
The same thing. Yeah.
And you lived with him in Egypt, so you know the kind of foods he likes, things he likes, stuff like that. And instead of having, like, that stuff on hand to help make his transition smoother or more comfortable, you're serving him donuts. Like, I mean, most people I know that, obviously American, don't eat donuts for breakfast, you know?
No.
And so it's like you're forcing him to have something foreign to him for breakfast instead of whatever he likes. You know what it is, so because you lived with him.
Right.
You could have had it on hand. And then, like, now you're forcing him to just, like, be okay with everything. And it's just alcohol in the house, you know, surprised him with that.
And the female friend hugged Mahmood, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not okay. And it's
And that wasn't, she didn't, that's not a, like an American culture where she had to, you have to deal with, you know? It's
I don't think she meant anything by it, but the fact is, it's like, again, he's kind of waking up to these, like, strangers just, like, in his house. He's like, what the fuck? And it's like, and also, another point for dumb male guy is, like, they're both so amped up and fired up and yelling. Like, it's not really the time to mediate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they need to cool off before you have this conversation. You know, but.
And it's just one of those, like, difficult things of, like, what do you do? Do you leave and it gets worse and then something happens and then, you know, maybe you could have helped avoid or prevent it? You know, do you, but you know, do you make it worse by helping? Like, what do you do?
It's
like,
their relationship and they're adults and you got to let them figure it out.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like,
you
I
can
don't
give them any advice if they want it, but
it's like I don't make light of, you know, domestic violence, but it's like, it's kind of not that hard to imagine that a DV situation unfolded between them. You know, whatever happened, charges were dropped or whatever, but it's just like, man.
Yeah, that's not such a stretch.
Yeah, we saw a side of Nicole. I don't know if it's because she was a little
drunk.
Where
was her friend when that happened? He could have solved this whole thing. He could have prevented it.
Yeah, exactly. And so just, I don't know if she was a little drunk or what was going on, but, I mean, she was just real saucy.
She went
to
11, bro.
Shit, yeah.
She went from not showing any emotions ever to all of a sudden she's like a knife fighter. Like, she's ready to go.
Yeah, and for her to... For her to be all like, you know, I'll get out, and but then be like, no, I didn't really mean it, though. It's just like, I don't know, man. Like, just, I don't know. They are very, they stress me out when I watch the scene because it's very unhealthy. It's very, it's not good behavior, and it's just like, I don't know. I didn't like it, and I just feel like it's like the body's been cold for a long time, man. You got to stop the CPR.
It's been a little like,
call time of death, man. This isn't working. And
yeah, so. I don't know. How about Ashley and Manuel? We also got a break from them this week. Last week, Ashley drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Because they got to NYC, and they're visiting, they're sightseeing, all the shit. And Manuel's like, dude, I'm starving. Can we please get some food? And she's like, hold on. Let's go to the hotel. And she's at the hotel. I was like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Can we just eat? She's like, let me take a shower first. Why don't you take a shower too? And then we'll get something to eat. Like, there's a million and two places to eat in New York. You can't just grab a hot dog off
something.
A cart on the way to the hotel.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, you know, you're being real fussy. Let me read the cards and see what this is about. It's like, he's hungry, man. Even she said, you're hangry. And he's like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, I've never identified or agreed with Manuel more than I did that whole scene. I'm like, don't read the fucking cards. Get this guy a bag of chips or something. Like, are you kidding?
Can you order a slice and then read the fucking cards, please?
Yeah. Like, I was so on Manuel's side for that.
She's torturing him.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck? This violates the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I predict, and I feel like I've even been validated up to this point, that Manuel's going to want to move to New York City. Like, we're going to need to get the fuck out of Rochester, and we need to be here in New York City.
Yeah.
And he kind of plays at that, like, at the restaurant and stuff. Like,
yeah, doesn't he ask, like, if he wants to visit New York City, like, without Ashley, or stay without her? Like, oh, you go home, I'll stay here for a while.
Yeah, well, you know, he was, quote, joking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he did make reference to her going back to Rochester without him.
And not that I think that this is good for the relationship, but it's like, I would not trust... If I were Ashley, I would not trust leaving that guy anywhere by himself because I think he would go ghost on me.
Oh,
I'd be like, no. Like, not that, I mean, if that's the case, then obviously your marriage is a sham and all that or whatever, and he doesn't love you and et cetera, et cetera. But, like, no.
And it's
you
probably
know what
inevitable,
I mean?
Too.
Yeah, like it's going
to
happen,
you don't need
probably.
To facilitate doing
Yeah,
it,
but
know?
It's like, no. You know, you've only been here a short amount of time. You're not you're not doing this to me yet. No.
I think he'd be in the wind. He'd be on the lam.
Yeah.
He'd let him, you know. And apparently he talks to his ex, too. That's what his friend was saying.
Yeah.
So you really can't leave him alone, huh?
Yeah. And I there's insecurity, you know, a little bit coming from Ashley. But at the same time, I don't blame it. I don't blame her because he is being so vague and secretive on purpose and admittedly so that it's like, how can you feel comfortable and trust when this guy makes it a point to not share his private life with his wife.
It's insecurity, but it's not unjustified insecurity. Yeah. So I see what she's saying.
It's kind of like what they say like about like attachment types of like, you know, there's secure attachment type and then there's anxious attachment. And it's like, is the person who's acting like an anxious attacher, are they being an anxious attacher or are they being acting anxious because somebody is making them feel anxious? You know, there's like a thing of like, if people are behaving a certain way, even if you're the most secure person ever, if people are being shady and weird, you're going to make the person feel anxious.
Yeah.
Because you're being weird, you're being shady.
You're just doing it all the time. Yeah, it's like eventually it's gonna wear you down.
Yeah, so it's kind of the chicken or the egg first type deal. Like am I an anxious attacher or are you doing shit to make me anxious? You know? So
all right. So what about Robin Sofair? So I thought it was kind of shitty that, well, first of all, Calum, the friend, the English friend, flat out admitted he would date Sophie if he had a chance. But at any rate, Sophie's cutting him off to save her marriage.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just really sad.
That's part of the isolation process narcissists do.
It certainly is.
They get you to cut off your friends and family that they think might be a problem.
Yeah. And even when she tells Rob that she broke it off with Kalen, like he still made it all like dramatic and accusatory. Yeah. Like, I can't fix this alone.
Yeah. It's like, well, stop being the problem then, bro.
Stop being the fucking problem, dude. And I don't know. So she kind of moves back in to the house or whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of like an inkling of me is on Rob's side with the whole like breakfast in bed thing. Cause I feel like he was trying to do something kind of over the top and kind of doing a thing. And I don't think like she really gave a shit.
I was on his side for that because she was like, why is the ring in the cheese? He knows I don't like cheese. And it's like, it's the gesture.
Like, really, lady?
And then she's like,
wasn't she just bitching about him not being romantic enough and shit? Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm a classic, you know, pancake kind of, you know, person or like eggs and toast. But like, so salmon on some, but he bought the shit. He prepared it. You know, he put it on a plate. You know, like the thought was there.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was a little bit Team Rob in that moment. And it's like, you didn't need to shit on it. But then again, I don't deal with Rob. So there's that.
Yeah. You know, and because like, that's the thing, like, with people like Rob, it's like you do when they treat you bad for so long.
When they treat you nice, you gotta be like,
what's up? Yeah, and it's like you already know like this is coming with strings for one, and also it's just like you're just kind of you're put off from them. It's like like you treat me like shit all the time, where like you're not used to a nice gesture, you're not used to that, and they also want like extra praise for the good that they do than like your average person who does
true.
Like because it's like once a year I do something nice for you, so I want extra praise,
right?
And because it's a huge deal, it's like, well, yeah, because you only do it like one time, you know what I mean? And so it's just they want extra like oomph given to them for it, and it's like, and it just, when you treat someone like shit all the time, stress them out all the time, act inconsiderate and selfish all the time, and make everything my fault all the time, it's hard to pause and appreciate when they're not being a piece of shit.
And he, quite frankly, he kind of attacks her a lot on shit. So it's I can see why she might be like, when's the other shoe gonna drop? Like, what's going on here?
It's like, great, you're nice right now, but like you're gonna treat me like shit in an hour. You know what I mean? It's you know that this is just your groove, you know?
Right.
And so it's just kind of like, it's, I know this is gonna be short-lived, so I can't really... You know, and it's just, you're just in this mental space where you've just been hurt for so long that it's
relationship PTSD.
Yeah.
You know? Holy shit.
It's hard to get your mind out of that place of like kind of like you're kind of like mentally
defending yourself.
Yeah.
Constantly. Always defending yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always on guard. Always like in flight or fight mode. Like always waiting, you know, and it's. You can never relax around these motherfuckers, and then they do something nice, and they can't, you're kind of sitting there like a deer in headlights, like afraid to move, like bunnies when they freeze up when people are around, like, oh my god, because it's like a threat response, you know, like I'm not gonna move, and it's, you know, and then they get into yelling at you or being mad at you because you're not appreciating them and their gesture enough, and it's like,
and it almost that almost validates your defensiveness because you're like, well, so you look, he is attacking me, and it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
So how about this? Rob and Sophie have been married for a year, and they haven't had sex in 6 months.
I get it.
I get it, but that's not a good sign.
No.
And even when they were doing it, they were only doing it, like, a couple times a week, maybe. Yeah.
And again, like, when you're in that same kind of headspace, like, with them, it's like, you're put off by them. Like, you're not in a sexy mood. You don't want to touch them. You don't really want them to touch you. And, right. Like, and it's, I think it's better to not have sex than to be doing it because you feel like you have to. And it's just,
well, sure.
You know, I totally get it. I've been in that headspace where I'm like, I don't want to. I don't really want you near me.
And Rob wants Sophie to, like, dress up.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Which he didn't need before.
No. Now, here's the thing. If you've been married for 25 years or something, and you spice things up that way. They've been married for a year.
Yeah.
They don't even do it that much.
And now he, like, requires her to wear outfits.
Like, he can't get a boner if she doesn't dress up like a maid or some shit.
Yeah.
That's odd to me. Yeah. I find that.
And I'm wondering if he does have issues down below because of, like, his, like, narcissism and his deep insecurity. Like, you know, if that affects his mental or affects his sex drive. Because, like, when you are at least a victim of emotional abuse, which narcissistic abuse falls under also, it is emotional abuse. Like, when you are a victim of that, that is CPTSD. And so it's like that affects your sex drive as a victim. And because it raises your stress levels, your cortisol levels, all that stuff. And when you have raised some people, when their stress levels are more increased, it increases their sex drive. But a lot of people, a lot of women,
right.
It incredibly decreases it when you're under constant stress.
Right.
So when you're a victim of emotional abuse, you have almost a non-existent sex drive. And it's like, and I wonder if there's anything like that for, like, actually, like, the abuser, you know, if, like, if, because, like, they, it can go... It can, for narcissists, it goes on both things too, where either they are, like, sex crazed or right. Not really, and where they kind of withhold it and stuff as, like, a weird, like, control, like, kind of way to break
a
you down.
Thing, yeah.
Like to make you insecure, like, oh, I'm not having sex with you. And, like, oh, you know, and then it makes you feel insecure. So it could be, I'm wondering if just, like, the overall insecurity, feeling not good enough, hating yourself type stuff that narcissists right. have. I wonder if that right. plays a role.
Because deep down, they are insecure. They're quite insecure. But
yeah, and so I'm wondering if that plays a role with his unit.
And I wonder if it's playing into this, like, narcissism idea, if it's like, well, I've kind of already had her, and now I'm not interested anymore. I want to have more women.
Yeah.
Conquer more women.
Yeah, because that's
now
the
it
same
needs her
thing.
To dress up and shit, right?
Yeah, or where it's like, yeah, like, you got it, you're bored, and, like, you it just, like, having one person tell you with the online cheating, like, having one person giving you attention isn't enough for a narcissist. They need
right.
it flooded to them from several sources. One is not enough. And, like, saying I love you from one person is not enough. And oftentimes having sex with one person is not enough. And, or, you know, so maybe that's part of it there, of him just needing it.
Maybe.
Withholding it, you know, you have to dress up or I don't know, but it's interesting.
Here's one thing that Rob's really going to be upset about. We found out that Sophie has, in fact, hooked up with women in the past.
Yeah, and she did. She was very, they played the clip back of their conversation when she revealed that she was bi. And he asks her, have you ever been with a woman? And she says, no, I've never dated any women. So, play on words there, Soph. You didn't answer his question. You answered she tells her friend, "Oh, I've never dated a woman, but I've hooked up with a woman." So you didn't answer his question correctly all the way. You know, you were careful in your words.
I don't know if that's gonna fly.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because, and again, I understand Sophie. Like she says, I didn't tell him because I knew he was gonna make it a big issue, and we already have a bunch of issues.
Same
and
reason
so, like,
she didn't tell him about her dating Calum.
And so I understand why she's not telling him stuff because he's gonna lose his shit. It's gonna be like every day. I'm sure he finds multiple opportunities to be mad at her, to yell at her, to scold her, to make her feel bad, like to make something her fault. And so it's like, why, if he's going to find these things every day anyway,
right?
Why give him more reasons? Like,
why
hand him
ammunition?
A reason?
Yeah.
And like, so I understand, but, and then it sucks because it's a double-edged sword because it's a catch 22 because if and when he does find out these things,
right,
it's going to be an issue anyway, and it's going to be a bonus issue,
be a bigger issue
because
now.
You didn't tell him about it.
It's Angela and Michael thing.
Yep, and then you give him everything he's looking for. That, oh look, you're the shady one. Oh, you're the liar. You're the one that's
right,
doing stuff to me. That's why, yeah, it's all your fault. So, and then, you know, and it's the cycle continues, and
yeah,
so it just sucks, man. He's a tarantula. That's what he is.
He's Venom and Swag. Yeah. Douchey names.
Yeah.
How about Ed and Liz? So Ed sucks more than like we even,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He never disappoints to disappoint, does he?
Nope.
So Ed has canceled the wedding at this point.
Without even telling Liz.
Didn't tell Liz. Liz finds out because they're officiant. Send their regards and saying, oh, I'm so sorry it didn't work out with you and Ed.
And she's like, what?
I said, wait, what? Why? Well, because Ed made them dinner and the plate was a little too spicy for Liz's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed tells her, you're being a baby. And Liz has the audacity to say, like, hey, listen, chill out. Don't
yeah,
yell at her like that.
Yeah.
And that's enough, man. That's it.
Yep.
Now, Ed makes it sound like Liz was screaming at him in front of his family and all this and that. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the truth is in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah.
I tend to kind of believe Liz because we've seen Ed kind,
yeah,
of blow up over nothing.
Yep.
At her.
And he would be a lot more comfortable doing it in front of his own family, too.
Sure. Absolutely. So, I don't know. Obviously, everyone has their side and whatever, and I'm sure she wasn't quiet when she was getting back at him about it.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it's because she deals with this all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
This type of bullshit.
Yep, and you lose your ability to, like, you know, be the bigger person. You know,
yeah,
because it's like you deal with the same shit over and over again.
Wears you down.
You lose your grace, man. You lose your patience. And part of that is what they want. That's what they're looking for. To then be able to blame you, say, oh, see, they're the problem. That's why it didn't,
yeah,
work out. I couldn't deal with her craziness. And it's like, but like, you're not giving the credit to yourself.
they
of
drive
what
you
you're
crazy
doing.
And then,
yeah,
they talk about how crazy you,
yep,
are.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, oh, God. Just from what we've seen on TV, Ed drives me crazy, you know? And so it's like, I can't imagine every day in and day out with that guy. And
it's just the worst.
It's just, you know, and I knew, one, because of spoilers all over the internet that they didn't get married or whatever, but before this show even aired. But like, I knew he's going to self-sabotage it. He's going to find a way to be like, oh, nope, can't get married. And
nope,
it happened. And I was like, of course, there it is. And
I was like, well, because you gave the daughter a spicy dish.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
They're also, by the way, for viewers or listeners, in case you aren't aware, 90 Day Fiancé's Instagram account, their official account, they did post the breakup taco pasta recipe. So if you would like to check it out.
It does sound kind of good. I'm not going to lie.
It does sound kind of good. So, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, what a bitch move, though.
Yeah.
To just not talk to your fiancé, but call everyone else and cancel.
Yeah. That's such a bitch move. Like
that's
at least
a bitch move.
Send her a text and let her, like, maybe you don't want to call her because maybe you guys are going to yell on the phone or whatever. Maybe not see her in person because it's going to be a fight, whatever. But you can send her a text. Hey, I'm calling off the wedding. You know, something. And then
something.
The little prick, like, at the end, you know, he's like, or for the previews for, was it the previews for next week? Or just at the end, he's talking about how he'll, okay, fine, I'll meet her in person. I owe her, you know, to say something face to face. It's like, really, motherfucker?
You think so? That's big of you, Ed. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that she left being partner for that restaurant, and I knew that too. I'm
left
like, he made
partner,
her do that. He made her give all that up.
Made her move.
Made her
the
move.
Of no,
yeah,
fucking
from
nowhere.
San Diego to fucking Arkansas.
But she's got no family, no friends.
Yep. And
the
now you're pulling with her kid, and now you're pulling this shit. Like,
you're
what the fuck is wrong with you?
How weird is his sister too? By the way.
Yeah. Very.
Because
weird.
Because her name's also Liz, which I thought was odd, but. And she's like, well, now you can find a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, what? What?
It's like, I'm sorry. Ed is not going to be going for born-again Christians. He's just not.
No, if they're not giving it up the first date, like he's
yeah,
done.
Yep.
And it's like, but she kind of like, I don't know, like she kind of implied that Ed himself was like
some kind of Christian
model,
yeah,
role model. And it's like, bro, have you not been watching this? He's the worst.
Yeah. That's what I hope. I hope that he is not on any more of these shows. We've talked about this before. I don't understand why TLC, like, he's annoying more viewers than he is, like, generating extra views or whatever the fuck. Like,
honestly,
you know what I mean? It's annoying. It's like, we're done. We don't want to see this guy anymore.
I don't think they are really in tune with the viewer.
Yeah.
TLC. I don't think they really have a strong sense.
He's really terrible towards women. Like, he's a really gross man and bad towards women. And it's like, dude, don't support this.
Yeah.
Like, we've all had enough. Like, you need to listen to your viewers, and like, we have had enough of Big Ed.
Brendan and Mary had a relative kind of leak that they like had a baby, and they're gone.
Yeah,
they're done.
Yeah.
They're off. Ed's out here allegedly raping chicks, and they can't get enough of him.
Yeah, he's just gross. Like, the way that he behaves, the way his mind works, like, everything. It's so toxic. It's so bad.
It's predatory.
Yeah. And it's so entitled and just gross. And he's had enough of
advantage of women that are in vulnerable positions.
Yeah.
Like, that's his favorite type of woman.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And it's just, we've had enough.
Man, Liz
we're done.
Fucked her life over to be with this, like, the Mucinex mascot. You know,
absolutely.
Like, what?
Yeah.
How about Lauren and Alexi? We have not seen them for a while.
No.
I suppose this is the couple that replaces Angela and Michael, right?
Probably.
So, and again, like I said, TLC has no idea what people want. It's like, I would much rather watch the fireworks with Angela and Michael.
Yeah.
Because, listen, Lauren and Alexi, they seem like nice people, but they're going to be boring as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now.
I think so, yeah.
Boring as fuck.
And, like, Alexi is probably one of if not my number one favorite guy that's been on any of these shows. He's just a great guy.
Yeah, it's hard to find fault with him.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And so we'll see. But, yeah, I would... Yeah, I wonder if Michael and Angela are officially canceled or not. We haven't seen anything from them. Yeah.
But
TLC
that's how
left
TLC
quietly
does stuff,
with them.
Though.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. They do it quiet. They'll dismiss people outright, but they won't like tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They won't tell you why too. So, but so Lauren, they have three kids. That's too many kids, in my opinion. I've got two.
Well,
I'm
I was
done,
like, you got
man.
Two. What's one
I'm
more
done.
Really
oh,
at that point?
That's are you kidding me? I love my kids more than anything in the world. I'd rather jump in front of a bus and have another one. All right. That's just
I feel the same way over the idea of having one, so good for you.
It's like, it's just, to pay for college a third time, ugh, fuck that, man.
I mean, technically, you don't have to, right?
That's not, when they're adults, it's on them, right?
Yeah, my parents never paid
my parents
for my college.
My parents didn't pay a dime in my college.
So,
well,
so
no,
you don't,
my parents helped me out with, like, books and stuff at some point. I can't say they didn't help
me
at all.
Yeah, like, my dad might have thrown me, like, $100 for books one semester or something.
They've helped me a couple times. I can't say they didn't help
me. But as far as, like, a college fund for me, get out of here.
No, that didn't happen.
I didn't get a penny for that, so.
No.
It's like, so you don't, you could have a third kid. You don't have to make a college fund for them.
Damn good. I'm sleeping well, most nights. I think starting over again with diapers and the car seats would just kill me. I'm not doing it, you know? So anyway, Lauren, this is an interesting discussion, what they're talking about, because she's talking about getting cosmetic elective surgery,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting things tightened up and reduced and all that.
Yeah.
But first of all, I mean, mom bods are sexy to me. I don't know. Maybe other people disagree. I don't know. Those stretch marks.
As most things go.
Those stretch marks are just roadmaps to the bits I like. You know what I mean?
Whatever. And as most things go in our society, it is more acceptable for a man to have a dad bod, but than it is for a woman to have an equivalent, a woman body.
Ain't it a bitch?
So, yeah. Yet again, men, you know, there they are again, tearing us down. They can have a sloppy body, but God forbid we do. So
true.
We got to look like the Playboy fucking models on the front cover.
Even after a couple of kids and all that.
Yep. Especially after.
Especially. And so Lauren's mom's basically like, she doesn't want her to do it.
Yeah.
At all. And she's like, you know.
The typical, like,
surgery.
Oh, my daughter looks beautiful the way she is. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
But actually, she does raise some interesting points, too, though. She said, you know, surgeries are dangerous. And it's one thing if it's medically necessary, you got to have it done. But to elect to have surgery when you don't really need it. You know, is that a good idea? You know, listen, ultimately it's her body.
Yeah.
She's the one who has to walk around in it, right?
Yep. Isn't it crazy that women have more rights to what they do to their body as far as like cosmetic surgeries like that. Like they can completely re-sculpt their whole entire body and put giant tits in or whatever the fuck they want to do. Vaginoplasty, whatever. Yeah. They have more rights to fuck with their body like that than they do over the reproduction shit.
Well,
crazy?
Yeah, you know, we'll give them enough control.
I could
control
get some
like,
triple F tits right now, like, where I would be on the floor.
Like, even if it's not, like, medically, like, advisable. Like, even your doctor's like, dude, seriously, you shouldn't do this.
Yep.
Like, fuck you, do it. And
yep,
he'll do
like,
it.
All right, we'll do it. But, like, hey, can I get, like, an abortion in, like, Texas? Absolutely fucking
or,
not.
Or, like,
can I get
my tubes tied? I don't want kids.
Hey,
nope.
Hey, my baby, my fetus is going to die inside of me. Can I, like, get rid of that?
And it might
nope.
kill me, too. Like,
nope.
Well, call me when you're actually dying.
yeah, exactly. Like, okay, cool.
I'm sorry, huh?
So, just interesting. The things that we women are allowed.
Well, because body modification is sexy.
Yeah. I guess that's what it boils down to. But
right? It's like they have at it.
It's just like but it's interesting. Her plan, you know, she's like, I'm recycling my fat. I'm repurposing it. So I'm like, well, you know, I guess that's. Different than
I don't know. It's weird. So basically, they're taking fat out of her ass and put it in her titties and stuff.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if that's exactly what they're doing, but that's kind of the idea.
That's what it seems like.
I thought she made a sound
and then doing something. And I guess I could get that. Like if you got the I forget what it's called where your abdomen separates from the baby and it won't go back. Like I don't really know what that looks like visually. But like I mean if that's something like okay. Sure, because I get it.
Yeah.
She is a beautiful woman, and she is young. It's like, you know, like, do you want to, I mean, I don't know how, it, like I said, I don't know what it actually looks like under there, but like, you know, if it looks bad or you're uncomfortable by it and you have the means to get the surgery where you are able to look okay, in your opinion, in a bathing suit, like, then, yeah, have at it, man. But like,
but
I do think that, my belief when it comes to body dysmorphia, which I've struggled with it myself. Like I used to be over 200 pounds and I'm like 5'1", you know, and now I'm not that, but it's like, it still is hard for me to go from being over 200 pounds and like to look at say like a size small shirt and be like, oh, there's no way I can fit in that. And then I put it on and it's even a little big on me. So depending on the store brand, whatever, it's like, it is hard in a way, or like you keep losing weight and it's like, you look in the mirror and it's like, nothing's changed. You don't think anything's changed, but like you look at yourself every day. So you don't really like, you don't really know.
Well, yeah, you don't necessarily see the changes.
Yeah. And so it's like, so I do believe that if your body dysmorphia, which I would argue at least every woman probably has it to some degree, some level.
Sure.
But if it's that big of a problem for you, which in today's fucking society, as we've talked about with women's bodies and shit and whatever, mom bods, whatever, like if it's a big enough problem for you, you need to go to therapy and you need to address it because you can keep doing the stuff to your body, but I don't think she thinks she's going to get all the stuff done and then look in the mirror and be like, oh, body dysmorphia is gone.
Feel perfectly I look satisfied.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's like if that is a
that
mental
was the point
thing.
I was going to ask too. Like
that's
you
a
know.
Mental element within you, and like if you do not correct or fix that wound or that issue for yourself, your body is never going to look perfect to you. You're never going to. There's going to be something else wrong, quote unquote. With your appearance,
right?
And because that's just what body dysmorphia is—you keep finding an issue with your body, and
yeah, exactly.
It's like you're setting your own goalpost for how your body should look, and you're moving the goalpost yourself all the time.
Because you know, even if they do the surgery, it's probably not going to look as perfect as maybe you imagine it's going to look, and like you said, it's going to be an issue. And it's like I guess I see her mom's point because it's like you know the anesthesia and they put you under. It just takes a slight fuck up of that to kill you.
Some people
die.
Yeah, some people for for unknown medical reasons, like just weird medical shit that happens. Some people just never wake up from anesthesia.
They have a reaction and that's it. Mm-hmm. They're gone. Or you know, so it's like I guess I see her point, but then I also see the other point. It's like, well, it's her body. She should do whatever she wants. Yeah. And
for me, it's like if I were gonna get. if I really, really wanted a surgery of some kind, and I, like with every surgery, they go over and they tell you like, oh, like anesthesia, there's risks to being under for X amount of time. There's da 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 da. You sign a bunch of waivers, whatever. And but it's, and so it's like, okay, that's the little waivers you sign for all kinds right. of like little shit, right? And right. And like whatever doesn't actually happen ever, you know, whatever. Like I wouldn't let that stop me from getting a surgery because it is a rare complications that happen, right? And it's like, hopefully they don't happen to me, but I wouldn't let that stop my surgery. It doesn't sound like Lauren is either, but I do sympathize with Alexi on he's going to have to do all the work for, with like three small weeks. Children for 8 weeks. I, you know, I don't have any children and I am hashtag blessed for that. And, you know,
I suspect so that he's like, the one that kind of works and earns the money too. So it's like he's gonna have to work take care of the three kids.
He said he's gonna have to work full time and take care of the kids. And it's like I would like to think they're gonna have a family member around though, but still yeah. it's a lot.
But even for that family member, it's like, dude, I didn't fucking sign up for this. Yeah. It's not my kid, you know. So I don't know. They all made some good points. What can I say?
I do like that he stuck up. Not stuck up for, but he like had her back, like with the mom, like, well, you know, hey, if she wants to do it, she'll do it. And, you know, I'll tell her what I think and, you know, whatever. But I mean, I'm going to support her as long as she's going to do it. And mom seemed to be a little huffy puffy about that.
Mom wants her to nag Lauren into not doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, listen, mom, you know, I understand your concerns and, you know, she's justified to some degree. Right. But it's like, you know, you can't, if that's what she wants to do. She's an adult.
Yep.
She can do whatever the fuck she wants. So. Well, that just about does it for this edition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Fiancé podcast. We'll join us next time. We'll talk about 90 Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 7. Au revoir!